You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Freedom. It's not what you think it is, and when we're done, you'll see it's not the word you think I'm using. Walter Cronkite said, "There is no such thing as a little freedom. Either you are all free or you are not free." Turn to Psalm 119, if you would, and we may pick up here in verse 169-ish. Now, let me tell you where we're going with freedom. It's two words put together, free and dumb. And here's kind of where I want to go. How is it possible for us to be so free and so dumb at the same time? You say, well, that's not a very nice thing to call people dumb. Well, as it turns out, the analogy given what Christians are described as sheep. I'm not saying they're stupid. They're just not smart all the time. Sheep have a way of just crowd mentality, peer pressure. If the ram, the head guy, I mean, literally sheep, if the ram sees food and does not eat the food, the entire flock will not eat the food and they'll all starve to death, even if the food is edible. If the ram leads them off of a cliff, they will literally all go off the cliff. They'll follow. That's one thing sheep have a tendency to do. The other thing is they just wander off. Just walk off. You think, well, how stupid is that? Because what they do know as a flock is that they are safer together. Sheep understand for warmth, for protection, if they stay together, they're going to be safer than wandering off or doing something stupid. But what do? We wander off. And yet we have been given so much freedom as Christians, and we are so stupid at the same time. So dumb. Now let's start with the sheep side of this thing in Psalm 119, verse 169. "Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness." And it sounds like he knows what he's talking about so far. "Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me." And then verse 176, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep." In the middle of this whole discourse here about chasing after God, trusting, believing him, he says, "I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments." Go to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." And by the way, this whole passage is prophetic in nature and it's talking about Jesus. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, just listen. Remember, this is hundreds of years before he showed up. "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now, what is part of what got Jesus killed? It's the strays. It's us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone our own way. Basically say, you know what? Enough of God already. And I've said this before, and I believe this, and you say, well, it doesn't seem possible. I believe any believer left to himself without the word of God, the power of God, the spirit of God, is on a collision course with disaster. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. If you cut yourself off, if you decide, I'm going to walk away, you have no idea how bad a place you can end up and how fast you can end up there. And this is such a hard thing to convince people of. People say, well, I'm a Christian. I read my Bible. I don't make it to church. I don't need the gathering. I can do it by myself. And I say, you know what? No, you can't. You weren't intended to do it by yourself. It's not biblical. It's just not going to work. Now, if you are isolated in the backside of China someplace somewhere and you're all by yourself as a Christian, maybe you hold on, you know, till Jesus comes. But I think even there, God finds a way to send you some help. And somebody shows up to be an encouragement. Now, I guess part of my first point here is this. What got him killed is stupid sheep, is dumb sheep. From the very beginning, the devil coming along saying, oh, no, wait a minute. Now, really, has God said that? The conversation I had last night with a friend, this buddy of his who's a Christian and gotten off on this, well, I don't really think Jesus had to die on this new argument out there. Did he really have to die in order to, you know, give his blood? Couldn't he have just, you know, gotten an IV of some kind and sprinkled some blood and been done? You know what? He had to die. When people start chopping up the word of God and questioning, well, maybe that's not true. Maybe that really didn't happen. You know what? It's either all true or it's not true. You can't be picking and choosing these verses and saying, you know, I'm going to get my black highlighter out and get rid of the stuff I don't like. Now, I think part of where I'm coming from with this today, and even reading here in Isaiah, what gets us in trouble is be very careful not to get too cocky in your confidence in Jesus, in your faith. Humility and wisdom together will keep you out of a lot of trouble. You say, well, I'm on a roll now, baby. Look at this. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm leading people to Christ. I'm giving 15%. Man, I got this figured out. Isaiah 53, verse 6 again. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a what? A lamb to the slaughter. Very interesting to me that we are compared to sheep, and it took a lamb to redeem us. And as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Jeremiah 50, go over there. Now, the freedom part of this thing for me and for us is this, that we just sit around and think it's all going to be okay, like everybody's going to do the right thing, because this is America. I'm an American, you know? Just free and dumb, as though this thing just exists because it exists. There are situations when things happen and you have freedom, and the only reason you have freedom is someone protects that freedom. You see what I'm saying? These are luxuries that we have. But don't be dumb enough to think that you're free just by chance. It's not cheap. It's never free. Spiritual freedom isn't free. Jesus had to die. Physical freedoms that we experience as Americans are never free. Now, read Jeremiah 50 with me. Beginning in verse 1, the word the Lord spoke against Babylon, against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare among the nations, proclaim and set up a standard. Proclaim, do not conceal it. Say, Babylon is taken, Bel is shamed. Merodach is broken in pieces, her idols are humiliated, her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north a nation comes up against her, which shall make her land desolate, and no one shall dwell therein. They shall move, they shall depart, both man and beast. And then look at verse 4. In those days and in that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, with continual weeping they shall come, and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion, with their faces toward it, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten. Verse 6, my people have been lost sheep. And look why in this situation. Their shepherds, and this word shepherds applies to princes or rulers or prophets or priests, anybody in a national authority position. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All who found them have devoured them. And their adversaries said, we have not offended because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Now, why is it so important to pray for those in authority over you? Because they can lead you astray. I'm talking about anybody, anybody in authority. Go to John chapter 8. And this is a conversation with Jesus. And I'm going to jump in John chapter 8, verse 20. And let's get into this freedom thing. John 8:20, these words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. And the Jews said, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Now, please, this is just another instance. You say, well, there's many roads that lead to God. There is only one road that leads to God, and it is Jesus himself. He said it. I'm not just saying this or making this up. He said it. He told them in red ink right here in my Bible. I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, in other words, Messiah, the chosen one, the Savior, you will die in your sins. Then they said to him, well, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. Now, what does that mean when you lift up the Son of Man? When you put him on a cross, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, in other words, if you stay connected to my word, what I'm saying to you, you are my disciples indeed, my followers indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You will never be free without the truth. You say, well, I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to pray. I'm busy. Let me tell you something. You are busy being captive by whatever's got you in bondage to it. If you don't spend time, if we do not spend time, if I don't spend time in the scriptures, talking with God, walking with God, listening to God, I will never experience the freedom that the book talks about. You have to stay connected. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Now here's my question. Are you free because you're an American or because the Son made you free? If all you can come up with, well, I'm an American, and you know, I was born in America, and it's some redneck approach to Christianity. Being born in America doesn't make you a Christian anymore. Being born in a garage makes you a car. If the Son tells you you're free, you're free. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen anymore, but one of the ways I explained to people my idea of freedom and being free was, for whatever reason, from birth to in my 20s, and even along the way becoming a Christian as a young child, I got so wound up, caught up, imprisoned in whatever it was. Didn't understand the truth, didn't know the truth, didn't know God loved me, and basically was in prison. for all intents and purposes. You say, well, how can you be in prison if you're not in prison? You can be in prison and be walking around as a free man, supposedly, and be in bondage to all kind of stuff. And the guy that God sent along, the man that he sent in my life, Claude Townsend, as it turns out, basically I understood later, Claude would come visit me in my cell. And we'd sit down and talk, and he had gotten permission from the warden and the guards to come in my cell, and he would sit with me in my cell. And he would talk to me about these things and how much God loved me and that Jesus had died for me, all these things. I knew in my head that if I died, I'd probably end up in heaven, but I had no way of living my life as a free man, as a Christian. And it almost turned out that he would come in my cell, and this is how it got explained, the way I understood it finally. He would kind of come in like a piece of paper and say, look, I have a signed document here from the governor, from the president, whatever it takes for you to believe this, saying you have been pardoned. You can walk out. You can leave this place. You are a free man. And I'd go, are you for real? That can't be true. I know what I did. I'm guilty. He said, yeah, I understand you're guilty, but this is what he says. This, he has the authority to forgive you. I can show all the guards and the warden all the way out this piece of paper and you can walk. Are you interested in that? Absolutely, I think. And I'd get my courage up and believe it for a little bit, and I'd make it to the first set of gates and the demonic guards, you know, kind of that were keeping me locked up. I'd show my little piece of paper and they'd scare me and I'd run back to my cell. And it took more time than I care to admit, but one day I finally made it to the gate, to the main gate. He said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about being locked up in your own head, in your own heart, in your own body, walking around free, but completely bound up. I made it to the front gate, and they're all, you know, screaming at me and hissing at me, trying to get me to stay in my cell, because that's their job, is to keep me imprisoned. And I stepped outside the front gates for the first time, and was free. I actually believed it. And then what happened is I knew nothing about being free. All I had known for those 20-something years was the demonic guard basically told me what to do, when to do it. They had certain pleasures they'd allow. You could have whatever you wanted, do whatever you wanted to do. You just could never leave. Now, I'm trying in a crazy way, I guess, explain to you freedom is not free and dumb. It's understanding, asking God for some wisdom, some real understanding of what it means when he says this. If you abide in my word, stick with my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You say you're a follower of me, you're gonna stick to what I say, and you'll know the truth, and what'll happen? The truth will make you free. What made me free finally as a 20-something year old guy? The truth. The truth was that God did love me, that Jesus had died on a cross and shed his blood for my sin, that I was forgiven. Whether I understood it, completely comprehended or not, it was just a fact. Whether you like it or not, Jesus died for your sins. And his blood can wash away whatever you've done. You say, well, you don't know what I've done. You know what? I know somebody who does know everything you've done. And his blood can wash away all of that. You say, well, I don't believe that. That's your problem. Just because you say you don't believe the truth doesn't make the truth not the truth anymore. Verse 38 again. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And I kind of see my ministry as a prison ministry of sorts. And I meet people and I go, wow, I understand you got a nice cell here. And some people have big cells, big houses, pools, all kind of stuff, luxurious cells, but they're still locked up. And some people got a little spot under a bridge, and that's their cell. And some people got a little corner office, and that's their cell. And you start explaining to them, look, you don't have this stuff. This stuff's got you. You're not doing this stuff. This stuff's doing you. And is this really how you want to live and how you want to die? And beginning to patiently, slowly dispense some truth and let them see there is a way out. There is freedom. Real freedom. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, let's just jump in. Verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Okay, so what does that mean? The Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. If you become a Christian, what happens? The Holy Spirit of God comes to live in you. Now, this is a very bizarre concept. I am really sometimes more comfortable with having God around me, but when I start trying to get my head around having him in me, I am not comfortable because I know what goes on inside my head, inside my body, what's up with me a lot of the time. I don't like sharing space with a holy God because my flesh and his spirit start butting heads, and I am a dumb sheep some of the time. That's why it is so nice to have a concept of church being a place where God is, and we go visit him, and then we go live like hell and come back and visit him. That's brilliant. Let's build him a house, and he can stay there, and we'll put air and heat, and he can roam around during the week. Just leave us alone. And if we get screwed up and in trouble, we will come visit you and say, you know, please forgive me, say some words over me and make it all go away. And then I'm going to go back and do exactly what I did because I am a dumb sheep and I love my freedom. The verse here says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Here's the definition from Strong's Concordance. True liberty is living as we should, not as we please. Liberty, freedom is not, well, I can do whatever I want to do. Paul said, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. You say, I'm a Christian, I can just live like I want to, I can do what I want to do. One of the toughest things for me when I got out of prison, so to speak, got outside that gate, is it started to dawn on me, I'm free, I can go do whatever I want to do now. I understood I had grace. And the reason there are verses in the Bible that say, shall we sin the more that grace may abound? He said, no, God forbid. How are we who are dead to sin live any longer in it? But for a while, new Christians just kind of like bask in this freedom, this grace, and just kind of go crazy sometimes because they are just gobbling up grace. You say, well, that's not right. Well, I know it's not right. But when you finally get free, you can abuse grace. And it's abusable. And then you start going, whoa, this probably isn't the deal, is it? Because there's consequence that comes with the abuse. He'll still forgive you. The world's way does not work. And the tragedy is it takes us about 80 years to figure that out. And about the last few minutes, you go, oh, it doesn't work. And then boom, you're dead and you're out of here. You're like, well, now what do I do? Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Look at this. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, same word I just read to you, the definition for, by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. And sometimes the biggest yoke of free, dumb people are religious people saying, well, yes, Jesus, but you got to do this too. There is no do this too. And you've got to take a stand. If it's not in the scripture, don't go chasing it. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. And in this case, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
One more, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. Remember Isaiah 53. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. I need a shepherd. I need an overseer. I need help. And if I take advantage and abuse my freedom and go out there by myself and just follow the herd, no matter what crazy stuff they're doing, then my freedom is just free dumb, but turns out to be very expensive.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.